in fact, you know, when you get on the plane, you know, and it's just, it's we have a word trundling. I don't know if you, it trundles along, and it's kind of turning around and trundling along. And then all of a sudden it kind of does a final turn, and if you manage to kind of look out somehow, then there's the runway ahead, and you kind of, and there's like this little pause. There's a little pause. It's like, and then all of a sudden it's like you can hear the, you know, the engines roar, and you whoosh, and you thrust back on the feet, and you're praying. Well, I'm praying. Oh God,
deliver me.
Look after me. And it's thrusting, quickly accelerating. Before you know where you are, you're lifted up into the clouds. So it's like that. We've kind of quickly accelerated. And the Lord took us up into he said, come up here. He said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So we've been in his presence. We're still in his presence, even in this final session now. We had some turbulence, exits to the left and to the right, but I think we haven't lost anybody on the way. We picked up a few on our way. Hallelujah. But now we have our final session, which is really our central message, which is the call to come. And I've taught, you know, we've kind of referenced this message because it's so integral to everything that we're saying. Our vision, and I mean, our vision is called to come, but our vision now, because you've caught that vision and you already had that vision, we're just coming to, you know, blow upon those embers into a fan into flame. It's actually that Kenya shall know the redemptive and restoration purpose of God, that the bride of Kenya shall arise, and the redemption of the land and the whole, the what God's purpose for Kenya shall be fulfilled. But through, we understand now, the relationship of the bride. And so the vision, my vision, Howard's vision, because we know we have to keep things really simple. So we've simplified everything down into a very, very simple mandate, a very simple message. It is that we should call upon Jesus to come. That's pretty simple. That's, people are like, oh, what do you do? Ah, well, we ask Jesus to come. That, and we teach other people, and we hopefully encourage other people to understand why should we do that. And that's what we're looking at in this lesson now. And what happens when we do that? About the call to come. Amen. So a vision for Kenya and for East Africa and then to the corners of this world is that Kenya will come together at one place in one time and to call upon Jesus Christ to come.
That's what we want to see.
Simple as that. That's a big vision. God, I don't know how that will happen, but that's the vision, that the bride of Kenya will come together at one place and one time and call upon Jesus Christ to come. I believe that when that happens, there will be, do you think heaven cannot help but respond? We have already experienced what it is and how we feel when we cry, come. It's like something inside that gets connected, gets energized. We feel, whoa, every time I pray, call to come, I feel like I'm connecting with Him. It is the prayer that He wants to hear more than any other prayer. It is the prayer, the cry of His bride for Him to come. Because we are in a prophetic pause. We're in a prophetic pause. Time is on pause. It's standing still. It's waiting for prophetic fulfillment. Jesus is not coming back until His bride is ready. So that sets up a tension, a prophetic tension, as though there was something that was dependent upon us to do. As though the second coming of Jesus is not something that's written like the 12th of August in whatever year. It's like, no, there's something, as Peter says, let us hasten the day of his coming. There's something that is dependent upon us, which is about us preparing. So that then leads us to the point and a question we've been asking ourselves throughout this conference. Well, how do we get ready? How is it that we can get ready? And so Howard and myself, we've been teaching about the bride for many years, and I've always taught that the finality of history, that the conclusion of earth time as we know it now, will be when there is agreement between heaven and earth, when the Spirit and the bride say come, as though it was something that was happen in some future time. And I think that's the opinion, that's the understanding of generally today, is actually, well, you know, that's talking about something that's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes. When Jesus Christ comes, his Spirit and the bride are going to be praying come. Well, amen. They will be praying come. The Spirit and the bride will be praying come. And so we've taught that as though it was something as the final conclusion, the ultimate agreement between heaven and earth, that the Spirit and the bride will say come. And when that happens, the bride is then ready, and it would be then that Jesus will then come. And so as I was teaching, as I was preparing to share this message one time, and I was then arrested, there was Spirit was unsettled within me, as though I needed to re-examine that premise. I needed to re-examine that scripture about when we should be praying for him to come. And so what I understood is what I'm sharing with you now is that the bride cannot get ready until she begins to pray come. So the prayer isn't something that happens at the end. It's the prerequisite. It's the initial. It's the thing that sparks everything. Because when the bride prays come, in fact, the bride cannot do anything but pray come, because the longing of the bride is for the bridegroom. But when she prays come, she is accepting her bridal identity, and she's beginning to pray as a bride. And what that does, that then repositions her spiritually in a different relationship, a different basis, a different alignment with heaven and earth, that she has understood something and she is now beginning to call upon him to come. So the call to come isn't a prayer that happens when she's ready, but the bride has come to understand that actually the bride needs the bridegroom to help her to get ready. When the bride prays come, this is what we believe, that there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is reserved especially for the bride, to help her to prepare. We touched on that. We looked at that when we were going through the story of Laban and Rebecca and the chief servant of Abraham. If you remember the story, that Abraham sends out the chief servant to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. And then the chief servant, finding Rebecca at the well, gave her gifts. But at that time, she did not know that she was the bride. So there was that initial giving and the representation of the Holy Spirit, the chief servant and the Holy Spirit. So there was a giving of gifts at the place of the well. So the church is at the place of the well, and we have experienced the blessing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit whilst we've been at the well, even though we have not understood who we are as the bride. But then Rebecca goes and tells Laban, and Laban invites him to come and to stay at the home. And then the servant explains to Laban why he had come, that his master had sent him to find a bride for his son, Isaac. And Laban said that this is from God. And he was willing. He recognized the bride, and he was willing to release the bride. And on that recognition and willingness to release the bride, it says that the servant gave additional gifts. He gave additional gifts of gold, but he also gave garments for Rebecca. And so on the revelation of the bride, there came additional gifts for the from the Holy Spirit to the bride. This is what I'm saying, is that there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is necessary to help the bride, to help her to get ready. But she can only access and she can only receive that outpouring when she begins to align herself in her bridal position and call upon him to come. And he will then send the Holy Spirit, this new outpouring that the church has never received. There is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is reserved in heaven, and Jesus and Father are waiting for when the bride will finally pray the prayer, come, because they've got, or they have the waiting for the Holy Spirit to send to help her to get ready. Amen. So when we're praying for a new revival, and we're praying for the Holy Spirit to come, I can't help but imagine or to think that Jesus is thinking, they still don't understand. Why are they asking for the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's commission is to go and find a bride for the Son? Why are they asking for the servant and not the Son? You understand? So we want the servant because we've enjoyed the gifts. But the gifts are to help us to get ready. But we like to be there. Oh, it's nice at the well, and it's nice. Oh, look what we've received. Let's stay here, which is what happened to Laban. After he'd had a night to think about it, he thought, ooh, let's not be hasty here. Let's kind of remain here for a few extra days. And of course, we know that, you know, the servant became, you know, angry and charged him and said, okay, let's ask Rebecca. And Rebecca was willing to go. Amen. So my point that I'm saying is there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we will receive when we align ourselves in our bridal position and begin to ask him to come. It's a prayer that we should be praying now. Hallelujah. A prayer we should be praying now. If we are talking or leading somebody, we're evangelizing or witnessing to somebody who doesn't yet know the Lord, and we're sharing with that person about the love of God and their need for forgiveness and salvation and so on, one response we might receive, that we might hear, is, oh, I'm not ready. I need to sort my life out. I need to sort, you know, my home, or, you know, I'm not ready, so let me defer my decision. I will ask Jesus to come. I will ask him to come into my life when I've improved my life, when I've improved my situation. And of course, we would then counsel that person, and we would say to them, well, actually, no, you need to ask the Lord now. Because actually, he will help you. He will help you to actually to, so that these things that you don't need to do them on your own, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart today. That's what we would say. Because we know actually, you don't need to try to get yourself ready. In fact, you could never do that. You're always going to need to ask Jesus into your life. So why don't we do that today? And this is what I understood, the parallel then. Well, actually, I need to be asking Jesus, not when I feel like I'm ready as the bride, because we will never get ready as the bride. It's not something that we can attain to ourselves. It's not something that we can achieve of ourselves, but praise God, he has the Holy Spirit, this bridal anointing, this bridal outpouring, this bridal revival for the Holy Spirit to come. When she has understood who she is and that she needs the bridegroom to help her to get ready, she begins to call, come, and the Holy Spirit will come. And when that day comes, I believe it will be a fulfillment of John chapter 14, where it says that you will do even greater things than these. Amen. You will do even greater things than these. Because the bride is becoming like the bridegroom. We have seen little parts of that, but we've not entered into the fullness of that. We cannot say we fulfilled that prophecy yet about Jesus. We haven't, by and large, done greater things than Jesus. Unless there's someone who's amazing and totally blessed by God. Hallelujah. We haven't arrived at that place yet. But what I'm saying is, we will arrive at that place. But I believe, this is my belief, this is what I've come to understand, that there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that will come to fulfill that scripture and to help the bride to get ready. We will receive everything that we need, but it begins with the prayer, the cry, the call to come. So, let us look at Revelation chapter 22. This is the final chapter of all scripture. In fact, in chapter 21, we've looked at that earlier. But there's this vision that John has of the bride. And he says that he sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven dressed like a bride. And then it goes on in verse number 3. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. This will be my people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. In verse number 6, chapter 21, verse 6, it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. So someone in heaven is speaking here, and he's saying, I am the Alpha and Omega. He said, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I will be his God, and he will be my son. So who is it that is talking in these verses? It's God the Father, because it's the Son. He said, he will be my son. So we're looking at Father God, who's saying, it is done. He's saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, and it is done. So it is God the Father who is speaking to us in these particular verses. So this is interesting, because we have the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Jesus, Jesus' bride, the New Jerusalem, but his Father, who's saying, it is done. Hallelujah. The Father is saying, it is done. In this picture and this passage, we see a picture of the New Jerusalem, the bride of the Son, but then it's the Father who's speaking, I am the Alpha and Omega, it is done. Hallelujah. We then have a transition. John gets another picture of the bride. He says that the angel who was carrying the bowls of the seven last plagues, he says, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Not the New Jerusalem, but just Jerusalem. So here, this is the old Jerusalem. So the Father, with the Father, we are seeing the bride of the Son. Hallelujah. But now, John has been taken up to a high place, and he said, I will show you the wife of the Lamb. And if you were here, we had that session on the glorious bride, how the intricate nature of Jerusalem and one flowing from the other as Jesus begotten of the Father and all of that. So we have here Father talking and a revelation and a picture of Jerusalem coming down. Okay, let me quickly move on into Genesis, Revelation 22 and verse number 7. Here, now, yeah, just follow with me here. It says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Say with me, "Coming soon." It says, "I am coming soon." That's number one. Then in verse number 12, what does it say? It says, "Behold, I am I'm coming soon." So that's two times we have the word "come." Then in verse number 17, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come." How many times is the word "come" used?
Three times.
Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." How many times?
Four
times. "Whoever is thirsty, let him..." How many times?
Five.
And then the finality of all Scripture, it says in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things, saying, 'Yes, I am coming soon.'" How many times the word "come"?
Six.
Six. Hallelujah. Is there another time? Amen. It says, John's response, the only response left, is he saying, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." If we want a biblical rationale as to why we should pray the prayer "come," we need look no further than John himself. Hallelujah. Who completed all of Scripture the seventh time, the number of perfection of completion, when he himself agreed and said, "Yes, amen, come, Lord Jesus." That word is the word echomai. Echomai. It's "come." It's the same. "Yes, behold, I am coming soon." And again, "I am coming soon." The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him who is thirsty come. Let him who hears come. Jesus then, the third time, "I am coming soon." And John completes it saying, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." Jesus gives us the final declaration of his deity and his humanity in these very scriptures, in these very verses. He says, in verse 12, "I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." And then, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Amen. In chapter 21, we just read that the Father said, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Amen. I will be, you know, he will be my son. I'll be his God and he will be my son. Father is declaring, "It is done." It says, "I am the Alpha and Omega." And now Jesus comes to take center stage. Hallelujah. Jesus comes to take center stage to the final revelation of who he is. And he's saying that, "I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. As the Father is, so is the Son." The Son is the exact representation of the Father's being. Amen. He is the manifestation of the Father. Now, he is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Then he then makes another and final declaration of who he is. In verse number 16, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches." Jesus has sent his angel to give you this testimony about the churches. Hallelujah. We have been in the company of angelic hosts.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. He's commissioned the angels to give revelation and understanding. And here we have the final closing statement of all that he is. It says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. I am the root of David. David being Israel's most celebrated and honored king. David, you know, just that man of God who loved God, worshiped God, and all of his story and testimony, but remember through scripture that he would always have someone upon the throne. Yet before David, it says that I am the root of David. I'm the root of David, and David came from Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus was the king before David ever was. He was the root of David. David came out from Jesus. He says, I was before David. I was before him. I was the root of David. I am the pre-existent great I am. I am the Alpha and Omega, as I am in the Father and he is in me. He's making this final revelation of who he is. Before David, I am. Before David, I am the Alpha and Omega. I was there. I am and always have been with Father there in the beginning. If there ever was a beginning, we go eternity past. I am the root of David. But then I am also the offspring of David. So the root of David was a declaration of his divinity. It was who he is as God, his divinity, that David came from him in that sense. He was the root of David. But now, I am the offspring of David. I am the fulfillment. I am the one promised that David would always have one upon the throne. I am the root of the offspring of David. Hallelujah. I am the promised one, the one to come upon the kingdom that shall know no end. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and upon him shall the everlasting kingdom and government upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. He is the fulfillment of all scripture and all prophecy, the Messiah, the one to come, the one who is king. He is the offspring of David. And then finally, the final character and aspect and description of who he is the bright morning star. The bright morning star is known to be the planet Venus. The planet Venus is the brightest, apart from the sun, and the moon itself is the brightest object within the sky. And before the sun rises into a new day, you will see the planet Venus there, that because of its brightness, it will herald a new day. It's visible there. Depending on the timing of years and so on, sometimes it's also the evening star. But here is the morning star. It's the morning star because he's heralding a new day. He's heralding a new day. This is the final declaration of who he is, that when he comes, he is the brightness of all that he is. The brightness. Heralding a new day. He is the King of Kings, Alpha and Omega, the root and the offspring of David, and he is the bright morning star. What is the only response that you can say? What is the only prayer left? What is the only response remaining when Jesus has revealed himself through revelation about the fullness of all that he is? The fullness of God the Father in that the Alpha and Omega. The one who is pre-existent. The eternal one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that has been made that was made without Him, that in Him all things hold together and have their being, that Jesus Christ, in Him is the secrets of all wisdom. Jesus Christ, God, who lowered Himself and took upon the form of man to redeem us unto Himself, the passion of His heart to go and to redeem and to bring forth His bride. Hallelujah. What response are we left? How do we respond to that? What is the only prayer remaining? There's no other expression that we are given but to pray. Lord, if that is who you are, which we know and believe to be true, then, Lord, would you come? Come, Lord Jesus, as John. Revelation was written and received in AD 95. It was in AD 95 that he received this revelation. And that would be, if that was 95 AD, that was 60 years. 60 years after Jesus had been crucified, and resurrected, and ascended back to heaven. The same Jesus who you see go shall return in the same manner. Hallelujah. The same Jesus. John, who loved Jesus. The apostle of love, who had for 60 years been faithful. Been tortured. Treated. Badly. And now in exile in Patmos, 60 years later. And one day on the Lord's Day, he receives a revelation. Jesus said to John, I am coming soon. How do you think he felt? His beloved. And Jesus comes to him in his place of exile. And he encourages John and says, I'm coming soon. And my reward is with me. The only thing that John could say, the cry of his heart, was come. It's come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Echomai. Maranatha. Come. Lord Jesus. It is the prayer, I believe, that is the one he wants to hear more than anything else. Why should we be so occupied? Well, I need to do this. I need to do that. I want, you know, we set our minds not on things above, but on things on the earth. And Paul said, if only in this life we are to have hope, then we are to be pitied more than all men. It's the very fabric, the essence of our message is not in the hope in this life, but it's in the hope of that which is to come. It is that we should never forget our home. That we're not citizens here. We are. I mean, we got Kenyan or UK passport. You're a citizen of Kenya. But more than that, you're a citizen of heaven. Home is with Him. That we're passing through. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. There's a prophetic pause. There's a prophetic pause. And we need the clock. To start ticking. again. We need to activate this new spiritual reality, this new spiritual dimension, this period of time. And the clock will begin to tick again when the bride begins to call, come. To call, come. I encourage you. Call, come. I mean, we do, I'm sure. Keep it as part of your personal prayer. Teach this. And call upon Him to come. Call upon Jesus to come. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how much. Are we? Yeah. So we called upon the Lord in our previous session. Hallelujah. But we've given you this teaching and understanding, and hopefully to help you to understand. And you can pray it now. Pray it as an individual, pray it in your churches. When we begin to pray like a bride, we will position ourselves in a place that actually we think, well, how can I prepare? Well, that's one way you could begin to prepare. To cry, come. And this outpouring, these garments that are ready for you to put on, you can receive when we begin to pray like a bride, think like a bride, believe like a bride, and love like a bride. So we bless you. We thank you so much. I'm so excited for you. This is something, we want to give this to you. This, we can't do this for you in that sense. This, take this. Eat it, digest it, let it grab a hold of you. And run with this. Run with this message and this mandate and this understanding of the bride and who she is and the place that she has. And pray to be blessed. And thank you. Thank you for your love. And you're welcome. Now, can we come back? Hallelujah. Amen. I just want us, if we can, I know time is, we have just a couple of minutes. But can we just stand right now?
Yes.
I wonder if we could just lift our hands. Are you ready? Do you feel it in your heart? Do you feel that love for Jesus? That nothing else is more important? That you are longing for Him? Let's cry, come. Let's cry, come. Hallelujah. Maybe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we cry. Come, Lord, in your kingdom to take